This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Whip out your joystick and get ready to give it a wiggle. You're here with Joy Drive's monthly video game gossip with Elliot Attard.
I love that intro about the joystick there. It's time to press start on all things gaming. Each month we're joined by the brilliant Elliot, host and producer of Joy's very own gaming and geek culture show, Checkpoint, which you can catch on Saturdays from 2 to 4. Elliot's here to keep us updated on what's new in the gaming world, what's worth playing, and what the queer gaming community is buzzing about. Elliot, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Latham. How are you?
I'm pretty well, thank you. Yes, filling in here, sitting in Warren's chair.
Wow. I was going to say, Warren usually knows nothing about gaming. So where are you at? Like, how do I base this conversation?
Well, the extent of my gaming knowledge is probably back in time in the early 90s around Commander Keen.
Yes.
Prince of Persia.
Nice.
I did SimCity 2000. So I am a millennial.
You are. You brought it into the new millennium with you.
Yes. I'm about 24, 25 years out of date.
Well, that's okay. I mean, your point of reference has been noted, and I'll try to move the conversations in those directions for you.
Well, I was going to ask what's hot this month, but maybe I should say, well, what's the most exciting thing that's occurred over the last 25 years when it comes to gaming?
Oh, my Lord. All right, let me go through my calendar of the last 25 years. Actually, I tell you what, it might be a similar answer to both questions, because something big did happen within the last couple of weeks in that we got the new announcement of a gaming console. Did you know that they're releasing a Nintendo Switch 2?
I didn't. I've only ever heard of a Nintendo Switch. I didn't realize they were numbered now like iPhones.
Well, they are, apparently. Oh. As of the year 2025, they are actually releasing a brand new Nintendo console, which is, you know, it's not something that happens every year. So it's always an exciting time for a new console release, because often these moments accompany kind of, I guess you'd call them like generational leaps forward or shifts in the gaming space. Like, here's where the technology is at now.
Yeah.
And everybody's very excited by kind of what comes next, what's on the horizon. So we're very much looking forward to what might come about with the Nintendo Switch 2.
Do you know what's the new features in the Nintendo Switch?
Like, yeah, I mean, look, it's not going to be groundbreaking.
Oh.
Nintendo, unfortunately, in the kind of gaming space, have always been about 5 years behind. But what it can do is, I mean, it's in the name, it's that versatility of going from handheld to a kind of docked console TV experience. And in that, it does really excel. I mean, these things are freaking cool. The Switch was such an important and popular console. So to see it kind of advancing into like 4K technology, for instance, advancing to be more competitive alongside the other console manufacturers as far as like specs and hardware and stuff, like that is cool. But we've also seen what Nintendo can do on the software side of things, which is always been their bread and butter. They are incredible game development companies. And we are seeing some of that come alongside the launch of the Switch 2, including a brand new Mario Kart game, which that existed in the 90s. So maybe we can flash forward here and you can check out like what a 2025 Mario Kart would look like compared to your, what'd you play on the NES, the Game Boy, the...
Yeah, well, I definitely played it on a Game Boy. It would be a Nintendo...
64?
Beyond a 64.
GameCube?
Yes, okay. Maybe that one, yeah.
Love that. Double Dash was the GameCube Mario Kart.
I think I phased out when they turned 3D. Like, I like the 2D version of things.
that was a long time ago.
And then
we
have
ago.
Those, like, speaking of joysticks, you know that those mini, like, thumbsticks on remotes?
Of course.
I just don't know how to use those. They're beyond me. I'm a troglodyte when it comes to that.
Well, those existed even on the old consoles back in the day. You must have utilized them.
Oh, barely. Just not my thing. Too many buttons. But I did know in the lights of, I did know how to do the in Mortal Kombat. Like, I always knew the little tricks for the secret powers.
The cheat codes.
Yeah, you know that. And it would throw some sort of energy beam, or they'd shoot up and down.
So you are a gamer, Latham. I knew it.
From back in time.
I knew
back
it.
In time,
back what in happened?
Time. Well, other than Nintendo, the new Nintendo Switch 2, are there any any other exciting gaming news? Is there any other exciting gaming news this
month?
Oh,
I mean, there's always exciting gaming news. I'll tell you what, I'll jump into, this is a bit news, a bit kind of just like what I've been playing recently, but there has been a game kind of taken the world by storm, if I can use such a hyperbole.
Well, I'm in the world and hasn't taken me by storm, so you better make me excited about
the gaming
about
world.
Oh, the gaming
storm.
World.
How about that? We recently reviewed and checked out a game by the name of Blueprints for Checkpoint Gaming and gave it a perfect 10 out of 10 score, which we've only ever done, I think, 5 or 6 times in the past. But this game has quickly skyrocketed to one of the most critically acclaimed video games of the year and recent memory. And it's a puzzle game, which is cool because you don't see too many of these, not to the level of success as this one. And it's a game that allows you to play as a young boy who has inherited a mansion from a distant relative, with a whole bunch of strange caveats to the inheritance, including one being that you can't stay a night within the building. But the idea is you are walking through the chambers, the different rooms of this magically shifting mansion, where every new day you step foot, it could be a different allocations of rooms that you are entering into, with the idea that you somehow have to find, I think it's the 46th room, a hidden 46th room within the mansion. And essentially, every single minute, every single moment, every single detail of every single room within this game gives you a clue as to how you can do that. And the whole game is just you piecing together bit by bit information with no, it doesn't hold your hand in any way. It doesn't tell you what to do. You just have to figure it out. And it is one of the most impressive uses of just, you feel like a genius playing this thing. At times you feel like an idiot.
Yeah,
but when you solve things, you feel like a genius. And is this incredible sensation that I think games have really struggled to give that level of amazement recently. So,
would you call it that curiosity?
Yeah. Ooh. You're constantly curious and then, sparking your own curiosity and then solving your own curiosities. And it's very powerful because it's not like doing a Sudoku where you're told what the puzzle is and you solve it. Part of the puzzle is figuring out what is a puzzle and then solving it. It's really clever.
What the puzzle is in the first place.
Yeah, of course, it's not spelled out to you. Nothing is told to you. Oh. You walk into rooms, there's chess pieces. You're like, okay, this is interesting.
What does this mean?
And then later down the line, you see a chess board and it suddenly starts kind of, pieces are falling into place. And you're like, I reckon this means something. Huh? And then it might take the third, the fourth, the 50th day for you to solve what that puzzle means.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, look, a game to look out for. And I'm just thinking too, like when you were saying about you have to figure it out, can you go online and get
cheat
sheets and things? Because I remember back in the day, speaking of my age, as Carmen San Diego, we used to have these little printouts of the little codes and things.
Yeah, the user manuals and guides and stuff. Absolutely. And I don't think that's necessarily cheating. Some people will want to go and do it all themselves for sure.
Yep.
But it's one of those games where I think in an ideal situation, you'd have a group of friends playing this thing. Maybe you chat every few days and you share little bits of information and, are piecing this puzzle together. Alongside each other. I think that's probably the most powerful way to play a game like this. You can certainly do it solo, or you can certainly look up information online. Yeah. I would, don't look up everything all at once. Give yourself a little bit of curiosity and puzzle solving.
Yeah, so give it a go first, and then if you get stuck, maybe you can get some,
Yeah, just
online.
Get nudged in the right direction. But actually, I've definitely been seeing people online be very, treat this game very sacredly.
Yeah.
I've not seen people be like, here's all the information, bad luck to anybody who didn't want to read it. People are very sensitive about how they're sharing things, giving nudges in the right direction. It's very cool. It's like the internet has gone on this detective thriller kind of adventure together.
Ooh.
Yeah, and there's still stuff we're solving to this day that the puzzles just go deeper and deeper and deeper. It's very, very cool.
Okay, one to look out for. Thanks for that. Now, coming back, because I've talked about some of the games that I'm used to back in, day dark, back in the dawn of time. Is there a comfort game that you often go back to? Like just one of those games that you go, this one I can just chill out. I just know how it works. Do you have a game like that? constantly.
Oh yeah. I mean, a big one for me would be a title like Stardew Valley. And for those unaware, it's like a pretty cozy little farming simulation style game where you run a farm and there's townsfolk and you grow crops and you go out to the mines and you kill monsters and you can like get boyfriends and girlfriends from the townspeople. Uh-huh. It's like so simple, but really heartfelt and really lovely, and it's one of those kind of you can switch off your mind style games, and sometimes we need that in this space. I think people see gaming sometimes as very aggressive and kind of cathartic, and it doesn't have to be that. Some of it is just mindfulness and just winding down from a long day. All you want to do is go chat to your little villagers and grow your turnips, and that's enough, you know?
Well, I'm glad you have, like, shifted the stereotype that I have in my mind around gamers, because I'm just imagining people playing these, like, super violent games where they're shooting and they're punching, and then they get the control and they throw it and get really angry. That's kind of my image of a gamer, but that sounds very peaceful, relaxing, almost.
Oh, yeah, meditative. We run the gambit. I mean, those people exist too. Those games exist, and I play them all, so.
Oh, there you go. Now, when I was coming into Joy Studios today, I spotted something. I spotted these cute little checkpoint pins.
You did?
Yeah. Do you want to tell me about those?
I put up a sign at the front of Joy just to accost everybody who walks in. I'm glad you asked. I brought some into the studio today. Ooh, nice. Because...
And everyone can see them, of course.
Well, no, but you can, Latham.
Oh, so I can, yes.
I'm going to bring them across to you. You feel free to have a look. But essentially, yes, thank you for bringing that up. Every year for Radiothon, which is Joy's big... massive fundraising effort. This year it starts May 10th. We all do our best to raise some money for this station because as a station, we are stronger together. We're stronger with support. We all know that. And this year, just like last year, we have manufactured some Checkpoint branded merchandise, pins specifically. Gamers love a pin.
I mean, this pin that I'm holding right now, speaking of Game Boys, this is super cute. There's one that's shaped like a Game Boy and it's purple and pink and lots of little rainbow colors on the inside.
It's very cute, isn't it?
It's like my favorite. I'm going to have to buy this one.
Have to buy it because I'd love to give it away, but that would be $10 Joy isn't raising this year. So
where can we get these pins?
I'm so glad you asked. Oh, it's almost like this was pre-scripted. So checkpointgaming.net.
Yeah.
And at the top of the page, there is a button that's called Merch Store.
Okay.
That's it. You go there, 100% of all proceeds go to Joy. We're not taking a cut here. We're not profiting. We want your support to, you know, help raise money for Joy. If you go to Checkpoint Socials, you'll also find links to the merch store there. There's a few different places. Hopefully, we'll get it on joy.org.au as well. If you come into the Joy Studios, you'll see a QR code that you can buy some. But yeah, just raising money.
Well, if you're down here in St Kilda, we're at the Victorian Pride Centre on level one.
Technically speaking.
Well, there's a mezzanine. That's
there's
why
a
I
mezzanine.
Think it's level two.
Very confusing, isn't it?
Yeah. So level one, so you can come up to the Joy Studios and purchase one there. Well, that's game over for now, Elliot. Thank you for the chat this afternoon.
Thanks, Latham.
That was Elliot Attard from Joy's Checkpoint for dropping in with the latest and greatest from the gaming world. You can catch Elliot and the Checkpoint crew live every Saturday from 2 to 4pm on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.